Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
Move straight into our Vision Sunday message this morning. And we're going to start by turning our attention to the screens. So thank you, team. Let's watch this video this morning.
In a world where images can lie, voices are cloned, and reality itself is curated, we are often left asking, what is actually real? I'm sure we have all at some stage fallen into the trap of being totally amazed by some video, only to realize it wasn't real, it was AI.
We are living in what many are calling the post-truth era, a shift from fake news to something more unsettling, fake reality. Algorithms now shape what we see, which stories are amplified, and who is portrayed as the villain. Not to inform us, but to capture our attention. Discerning truth feels increasingly difficult, even exhausting. The result is anxiety, confusion, and a quiet erosion of trust. We have a reality problem. And this reality problem isn't just out there, it's seeping into our heart.
Yet as challenging as this moment is, we believe it opens the door for the church to shine, carrying, speaking, and living the truth of the gospel, pointing to what every human soul knows deep down is true. When Jesus came to this earth, every time he said the kingdom of heaven is like, he was helping us discern between what is false and what is true. He gave us the gift of his spirit, which he tells us in John 16:13 will guide you into all truth.
In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes to Timothy in a moment of cultural confusion, not unlike our own. False teaching was spreading, creating fear, silencing believers, and robbing them of the power to bring cultural change and transformation through the truth of the gospel. Listen to Paul's encouragement to Timothy, his son in the faith and a young leader. In verse 5, he says this, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am persuaded lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind."
Paul goes on in verse 8 to call Timothy into loyalty to Christ and the gospel by the power and grace of God. It's the moment a wise coach pulls a rattled player aside, not to bench them, but to remind them of who they are and what they carry. A trusted voice calling him back to who he really is. Paul reminds Timothy of his sincere faith. The Greek word for sincere literally means without a mask, no trace of acting, no imitation, a real faith making a real impact. He urges Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God within him, to put his faith to work, marked by the Spirit who gives power, love, and a sound mind. Dayspring, this is our invitation for 2026.
Like Timothy, we are being called to fan into flame the gift of God that is within us and step into a greater level of sincere faith. What does this mean? Well, fan into flame simply means put into use. It speaks of an active, working, living faith that is making a real difference in our world. This year, we feel God wants to remind us of who we are, who is with us, and what we possess.
He is calling us to close the gap until what we believe in our heads and heart matches what we live day in and day out. To close the gap between biblical promise and everyday experience. It's an invitation to authenticity. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are called to embody what we believe, to live with a real faith in an unreal world. The phrase God dropped in our hearts that captures all of this is "for real."
We're going to spend the next 3 weeks and beyond unpacking what this means. But Paul uses three words that sum up what living a sincere, for real faith is all about. First, power, a power beyond our own that brings real change. Love, the very nature of God expressed in us and through us. And lastly, sound mind, meaning spirit-empowered clarity and discernment.
These three, power, love, and a sound mind, are the inseparable components for a for real faith, freeing us from the grip of fear and releasing us to participate with the God who makes all things new. Practically, this looks like our whole life pointed in one direction, faith integrated into every area. It's the potency of a life set free from fear and fully aligned with God's love. It's an inner fire with a gospel impact.
This inner fire is ignited and sustained by a life of prayer. In 2026, we want to see the level of prayer in our community go to another level. Simply, nothing happens without prayer. And so this inner fire, fueled by prayer, is then outworked in the sharing of our faith. We want to be a community trained, equipped, and confident to share our faith. We are hungry to see more people saved this year, encountering God's life-transforming love, stepping into the kingdom life.
One of the most famous stories in all of the Gospels is the story of Peter walking on water. When Peter takes his eyes off Jesus, fear reframes and defines his reality until Jesus reaches out and restores him, pulling him back into what is real. This is the moment the church finds itself in, that you and I find ourselves in. Faith is being tested. The storm wants us to take our eyes off Jesus, to see us tossed to and fro in seas of fear and uncertainty, leaving us ineffective in our faith.
Like Jesus did for Peter, like Paul did for the young pastor Timothy, God is wanting to hold us steady, remind us of who we are, what we carry, and what is true. We are a people of for real faith, a faith that works, a faith that reaches up to heaven, and a faith that gets down in the dirt, a faith that unlocks resurrection power, transforming love in a sound mind. Empowered by God's Spirit, we are going to go after the things that prevent heaven's for real reality breaking through. Fear, shame, intimidation, and deception. We are going to peel back the false story our world presents us and reveal the truth of who God is, His plan for salvation, and the abundance of life He promises.
Let's not settle for finding something that barely keeps us afloat. Jesus is extending His hand. Dayspring, let's be a people who take hold of Jesus and boldly follow Him into a deeper, more authentic, powerful, and transformative faith journey this year.
Turn to the person next to you and say, "Are you for real?" Sincere faith, this is what we feel God has called us to and into for the year ahead. And so just like Paul encouraged Timothy, God is encouraging you and I, Dayspring, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in us. For the Spirit, everyone say the Spirit. The Spirit that God gives us does not lead us into timidity and fear, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. Now, I want to kind of park that thought there for just a little while and come back to this idea of for real towards the end. And of course, like we said, we're going to spend the rest of the year unpacking not just what it means, but how to live into this idea of for real, sincere faith. But for the next little while, I want to reflect upon our journey as a church community over the last decade or so. As you would know, our church vision is to know Jesus, become like Jesus, and make Jesus known. Hopefully, if you're not new here this morning, that's not news to you. Hopefully, that's a message you've heard in a multiple of different ways, a multiple number of times. To know Jesus, become like Jesus, and make Jesus known. And this phrase captures three big ideas that form our foundations. Here they are up on the screen this morning. Our foundations are presence, people, and purpose. And you'll hear us talk about the need for us to acquire, to develop a rhythm of grace that hold all three of these things together. Won't happen without a degree of intentionality. To engage with grace practices that keep us aware and attuned to God's presence, practices that cultivate community and family, and practices that engage us and send us out into the mission and purpose of God in our world. And this is how we become resilient disciples, when we hold on to all three of these things: presence, people, and purpose. The reality is all the things that we want to see accomplished in and through Dayspring Church hang on how well we, you and I, do discipleship to Jesus. Dallas Willard says this: the greatest issue facing the world today is whether those who identify as Christians will become disciples, students of Christ, practitioners, steadily learning from Him how to live the life of the kingdom of heaven into every corner of human existence. So when it comes to church, Discipleship to Jesus is the answer to every question. And so when people say, hey, the church needs to evangelize more, or the church needs to pray more, these things are true, but these things are discipleship issues. Because the more you hang around Jesus, the more you will find a desire awakened within your own heart to share your faith, to share the message of the kingdom, and to pray. All of these things flow out of the heart of a disciple. Our vision this year puts the emphasis on prayer and sharing our faith. These are discipleship issues because disciples are just like their master, just like Jesus, meaning they are a people of prayer and they share the message of the kingdom. In Acts 10, Jesus says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God is with them. And so, Dayspring, as disciples of Jesus, we have been sent into the world just as Jesus was sent, filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with power, called to go around doing good and setting free those who are oppressed, because just like Jesus, God is with us. Amen? Amen? Now, why am I telling you this? Well, first of all, this is a good reminder, but also it has a lot to do with some of the changes within our staff and structure that we are announcing to you all this morning. Now, I feel it would be fair to say that since Kristen and I transitioned into leadership, that the heart of Dayspring, for the most part, has remained constant. However, one of the things I look back on with thankfulness is the call that we felt as a senior team and as a church community 7 years ago to put a stronger emphasis on our discipleship to Jesus. We decided to leave behind casual Christianity for the demanding beauty of resilient discipleship, knowing, of course, that we still have a ways to go. But this emphasis has led us to make some changes in our staff and organizational structure that we want to share with you today. The emphasis has changed over 7 years, but for the most part, our structure has pretty much remained the same. And so it was around about 2 years ago that Kristen and I, with our senior team and board, engaged in a conversation as to what it may look like to realign our staff organizational structure to capture this new emphasis that we have as a church. One that would align with our current vision and focus, one that would allow us to grow, and one that would allow an opportunity for the next generation of leaders in our community to find their place. And so this morning, we're going to introduce some of these changes to you. Are you okay? Are you all good? Now, Kristen and I, our roles won't change all that much. But what we have done is kind of shared the load a little bit. We found, in particular, Kristen was getting weighed down with day-to-day tasks that were taking away from the things that we feel that she is called to do. And so what we have done is shared the load. Kristen and I role, for the most part, we will stay the same. Russell, however, there's a big change in his role. One of the things that's been on his heart to do, you would know for quite some time, is his study. And this year, he's going to continue to do that. We are celebrating that fact. We've all been blessed from the things that Russell has been digging into. Later this year, he's going to start his PhD. Hey, you guys can celebrate. That's a big thing. And I'm sure he'll get a chance to share with you later just some of the doors that God has opened and the opportunities that he has presented, the people that he gets to partner with in doing this. But it does mean that his role will change from full-time to part-time, and that his role will also shift to become, here's the title that we came up with, someone incredibly intelligent came up with his role title, the Director of Church Support. Now that means that Russell is going to be overseeing all the operations, all the finance, and all the compliance side of our church. Joel is also seeing a role change, and for maybe since forever, since the beginning of time, Joel here has been the worship pastor. And as of this year, he's going to transition out of that role and into the role of executive pastor. Now, don't worry, he's still going to lead worship. I know that's the immediate thought that came to mind. What? No more Joel? But, you know, we should also celebrate the fact that we have some incredible young people stepping up and leading worship in such a beautiful way, like we saw this morning. But Joel is going to step into this role of executive pastor, overseeing all our Sunday services, all the different things that happen there, our prayer and our worship. He'll be overseeing our worship team, our generational ministries, things like kids, youth, and young adults. So we are incredibly excited about that. In particular, it's going to free Joel up to preach from time to time as well. And if you've ever had the blessing of hearing Joel communicate, he does it in such a unique but profoundly beautiful way. And I know that's going to be a blessing to our community as he gets the opportunity to do that. Some other roles that are changing along the way. Sarah Farmer, who's been our discipleship pastor and been across pastoral care and things like that as well. Some of the changes we're making release her to focus more on discipleship, which we are excited about. So she's going to continue to oversee table communities, huddles, and also various other groups. But some of the other things that were stealing away her attention, her time, and her energy have now been released into other roles. Harry Marley is, I don't even know where he is. He's around here somewhere, I'm sure. There he is at the back. We announced a couple of weeks ago that Vanessa was leaving as our executive assistant. We're not going to rehire or refill that position. What we're going to do is tweak and change that a little bit. And we've asked Harry to come on board and do that. So he will now be employed full-time doing what might be the biggest role of everyone and working under Russell with operations, administration, and marketing. And so can we all celebrate Harry's yes? A lot of the administration burden that was falling upon our senior team and our pastors that were just all good things, but taking us away from some of the work of the ministry, Harry is going to help us become efficient and put all new systems and structures in place. It's just the way he thinks, and we are looking forward to that. Alongside Harry, his new wife, Brittany, who has already been working in our social media area. We're just kind of making it official now. And so she'll be working with Harry. Harry becomes her boss to... we'll see how that goes, eh? And she'll be looking after all things social media and communications as well. So that's quite a bit of change. That's a lot to get our head around. Good thing is it won't all happen at once. And some of these things have already been happening. Like I said, we've been having these conversations for around about 2 years and taking it real slow, getting a sense for the direction that God has for us and wants to take us in. And so now's the time where we can finally start communicating this to you all. It also means that we're looking for two new positions that we will look to fill this year. First of all, someone to replace Joel as worship pastor. So we'll be looking to find a new worship pastor. And can I encourage you to pray for us and pray with us as we do that? This is an important position. I mean, all the positions are important to fill, but we want to make sure that we choose wisely and with discernment. And the second thing is, the second position is we're looking for someone to come and oversee all of our pastoral care. At the moment, that falls squarely on Kristen's shoulders, and she's brilliant at it and great at it. We want to release her from that, still to oversee it, but we're looking for someone to come in and work with her to assist with our community support, our mission, and pastoral care. So two new roles that we're looking to fill over the next coming months and the coming year. In the meantime, what we have been able to do is ask Alexa Heron, who at this stage is able to give us 1 day a week to come in and help support Kristen and do some of the admin work with the pastoral care. And so we're incredibly excited to have her on staff and team for this season while we await to appoint a new pastor in this area. So again, a lot to take in. I got one more change, quite a significant one to make. And then after that, I'm going to invite our team, our staff to come up. We're going to pray for them. Some of these new people, we're going to spend time just anointing them and praying them in, commissioning them into their role. But you would know that at the end of last year, we announced that Sean and Chelsea, who have been our youth pastors for 10 years, in fact, over 10 years, felt called to pass that on and to transition that role to Solomon. And he's already doing a great job this year as youth pastor and kicking off his first year. And during that season, Sean and I met a few times just praying through and thinking through what this next season could look like for him. And we came up with a few different ideas and different ways that he can stay on staff and stay in that leadership capacity in our community. But in the end, Sean and Chelsea both felt a prompting that the season on staff was over and coming to an end, and that God had a new season for them. They're not necessarily sure what that looks like, but at the end of April, there or thereabouts, Sean will officially come off staff. And what we want to do this morning, we're going to pray for him at that time in April and just do a really beautiful job honoring him and loving on him, because they have done just both of them have done an incredible job serving our youth and serving our church, serving our kids. In the last couple of years, Sean has also played the role of building manager as well and keeping things in order. And so he's covered a lot of spaces and a lot of in just such a beautiful servant-hearted way. And but I don't know, Sean and Chelsea, where are you? At the back there, two different hands. Can you guys just stand and grab together? I know you're going to come up here in a minute, but we do want to just take 5 seconds or so to maybe even more to honor you guys properly. Church, can we just say a massive thank you to these guys? Honor them. Excellent. Like I said, we'll spend some time praying for them and celebrating in a couple of months as well. I'm going to invite our staff up on stage. I'm going to invite our board up on stage as well. And as a board, we're going to pray for and anoint our staff for the year ahead. And we're going to take a little bit more time as well to pray for those that are coming on staff for the first time: Solomon, Harry, Brittany, and Alexa. Well done, Chris. That's impressive. Awesome. Church, this is the incredible team that God has appointed to serve you and to love you and to lead us into this year and beyond. Can we just celebrate them and give them a massive big thank you? They do an incredible job. Some of these guys, like Russell's been on staff for over 20 years. Some of these guys have been on staff for well over 10 years and just faithfully serving year in, year out. And we are so thankful for them. Can we stand? Let's extend our hands together. I'm going to ask our board to walk around and pray for them. And yes, that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for our incredible team. We pray your anointing and your presence would rest upon them for this year, this morning and this year. Lord, give them grace to lead. Give them wisdom. Lord, guide them, direct them. Lord, we pray strength of mind, strength of heart. Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill them for the appointed task for the year ahead. Lord, that they would find themselves serving out of your strength, not their own. Empowered by your grace, energized by your Spirit. Lord, may they minister and serve out of a deep knowledge of your love. Lord, give them the strength, as Paul prayed, to know your love that surpasses all knowledge, the height, the width, the depth, the length, and the breadth. May they minister from that place. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Now, while you're staying standing, don't move yet. We're going to ask Solomon and Alexa, Harry, and Brittany to come forward. And we're going to just take some extra time praying in these guys, commissioning them for their new roles. Stand up straight, Harry, just like school. There we go. As you can tell, staff with Harry is going to be very, very boring. And again, I'm going to ask our board and the rest of our staff to gather around these guys as well. And let's pray. Lord, again, we just commission and anoint Lord Harry, Brittany, Solomon, and Alexa for the roles that they've given their yes to. Lord, we thank you that you've gone before them. Lord, that you have anointed them, that you've prepared their hearts. Lord, we pray that as they serve you in this capacity, that they too will be filled with your Spirit, leading out of grace, leading out of a revelation and encounters with your love. Lord, may rivers of living water flow in them and through them. Lord, running out, blessing all those that they are called to lead. In Jesus' name, we pray. And we give you thanks. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Very good. Come on, let's give them one more hand as they find their seats. All right, we got a little while left, and I want to finish by talking about some of the more practical expressions of our for real theme and vision for this year. As we've mentioned, we've taken all the things that we're going to speak into this year and kind of packed them into one easy-to-remember, potent phrase, which is an inner fire with gospel impact. Everyone say, inner fire with gospel impact. That was so enthusiastic. Should we go again? Inner fire with gospel impact. There we go. I felt that. An inner fire fueled by a life of prayer. You know, we don't want to just be a people who pray. We want to be a people of prayer. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. In fact, I don't know what kind of reaction you get, you know, when you're meeting up with your Christian friends and they say, hey, what church do you go to? I go to Day Spring. I wonder what their reaction might be. I got no idea what that might be, but I would love it if the reaction, whether it be with your Christian friends or your friends that are yet to come to faith, and then they ask, hey, what church do you go to? And you say, I go to Day Spring. I would love it if the first thing out of their mouth would be, I know that church. I heard they know how to pray. I heard that when they pray, atmospheres shift. I heard that when they pray, lives are transformed, that love and power are released, heaven on earth. I just think that would make any pastor's heart full of, I don't know if pride's the right word, but I just feel that that's what God is on, to encourage us as a church to become a people of prayer. But as we see in Acts 2, prayer was never supposed to just be locked up in the upper room, in the prayer room. Prayer always leaks out. It leaks out onto the streets. And so we don't want to just be a people of prayer. We want to allow that prayer to flow out into the sharing of our faith. Now, neither of these things happen. I wish it was just as easy as us getting up here and say, this year our focus is prayer and sharing our faith. And that tomorrow you would wake up and be a people of prayer and a people who share your faith. I wish that was how it happened, but it just doesn't work like that. It's a process that we get invited into. We hang around Jesus, as I said, and these things are awakened in our life. We have to be intentional. Prayer and sharing our faith has to be cultivated. And so one of the ways that we feel this will be cultivated this year is in our services here on Sunday, just one of the ways. And so we're bringing some changes. Now, the thing that has brought most division to Day Spring in the last 30 years of its history is the new service time. Houses have been divided. Marriages have been divided, split in two. Husbands are no longer sharing their beds with their wives because of the disagreement they have over, should we start at 9:30 or 10 o'clock? Is this true? Now, we are going to continue up until Easter. We're going to commit to continue to our 10 a.m. service time for a couple of reasons. One, we're getting more people in the room, so that's a good thing. You guys are doing well at turning up at 9:30 for a 10 a.m. start, and we want to encourage you to continue to do that. This is important. The other thing that's been happening is it allows our volunteers, without asking them to come earlier, to be involved in our pre-service prayer. And so we're packing out our pre-service prayer room. I would love to extend that invitation to all of you. At the moment, we've gone from one small room to a slightly bigger room. I would love to see where we outgrow that room and have to have our pre-service prayer in here in the auditorium. You are all welcome to come and pray with us at 9:20 and to kick off the morning in prayer. In fact, you're welcome to come before that. Our prayer room will be open. You're more than welcome to join me in that at 9 a.m. to start praying before the prayer service starts. Prayer before the prayer, the prayer before the service. These are all things that you are now invited to be a part of. So this is a couple of reasons why we feel to stay with this 10 a.m. start time for now. But there are a couple of things that we are watching very closely. The first being our service end time. We don't feel that we can go, we can't consistently go past the 11:30 a.m. mark. There may be exceptions from time to time, but for the most part, we want to release the service at 11:30, which means that parents are probably picking up their kids at 11:40, which is borderline where things need to be for, you know, parents who need to get their kids home, kids who are starting to kind of get tired and sleepy and hungry and all of those things, and we don't want to put too much pressure on our kids' team. So that's one of the kind of, I know, triggers that if we can't consistently finish at 11:30, we're going to have to re-examine and go back to 9:30 a.m. Second, and perhaps more importantly, we don't want to restrict what God is doing in our services. We don't want to lose that sense of freedom that we have cultivated and that we value so deeply in our worship. We've never been a church that sticks to a run sheet, and we want to remain that way, allowing free rein for the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. This is a core value that we will not compromise on. So again, if this turns out to be something that is happening and we are indeed finding ourselves restricting what God wants to do, we will go back to 9:30 a.m. Is that okay? So at this stage, through to Easter, which is also when daylight saving ends, we will stick with our 10 a.m. start time. One thing I've loved to see is more people in the foyer walking in or walking out there after prayer at 9:30 just to see more people connecting, having coffee. So can I encourage you to do that? You know what human nature does? Human nature over time gets more and more relaxed. And so I can imagine the tendency will be for us all to go, oh, I can sleep in a little bit longer. And over the weeks and over the months, we will find ourselves rocking up at 10:15 instead of 9:30 or 2:15. And so can I encourage you as much as possible not to let that happen. Come at 9:20 for our pre-service prayer, grab a coffee, get to know the people that are there, welcome the new people as they come in, and let's create a beautiful atmosphere of community and fellowship. Amen? The other thing that we are changing is how we conclude our services. We want to finish our services with a response time. You would have noticed us experimenting with this over the last 6 months or so from time to time, where we are in different ways creating a place of prayerful response to do what God is, just to focus in and to respond to what God is doing. It's a place where we can fan into flame the gift that God is giving us each and every Sunday. And so we'll, of course, continue with our prayer ministry team, praying for specific words of knowledge. But we also want to create a space for everyone just for 5 to 10 minutes to engage, rather to rush off to get lunch and to do all the things that need to be done before work and school starts on Monday. We just want to create a space where we linger, where we slow down, press pause, whether that be coming out the front in a more Pentecostal altar call kind of moment, or similar to what Russ did last week and just invite us to prayerfully respond and reflect on what God is saying. Maybe there might be times of discussion, but we just want to let's stop. What has God said? What is God doing? What is God asking us to do? And just to allow that to settle deep into our heart, prayerfully and reflectively, so that we can go out knowing what it is God has activated in us and through us. Now, you might be wondering, where are we going to get the time to do all this, Aaron? This sounds like a magical unicorn kind of church service. Well, not so much. We're going to steal time from two places. One is the announcement time. So you notice the last couple of weeks, there's been one announcement. And so we're going to stick to that rather than five announcements that you don't remember anyway. And to be honest, there are just much better ways of communicating with you all, using social media, using email, our website, using the screens both in here, on the foyer, all the different things. Our what's on screen will capture everything that we're doing, and we will have space for one, like we did last week with Movies for Mission, one spot to highlight each week. But we want to just shorten that time, and really what that does then is allow the flow between worship and preaching just to work much better, and there's that sense of disconnect that can often happen when that middle section can drag out a little bit with all those announcements. The other thing we're going to do is to shorten our preaching of the word by 10 minutes so that we can have that 10 minutes of response time. Now, I know what you're thinking. There's no way, Aaron, that you were going to be able to do that. Well, I would encourage you to go back and look at my last five messages. They've all been under 35 minutes. And there is plenty of time. And the conviction is that strong that we need to create this response time, that's just something that I am determined to sacrifice so that we can have that shared experience together. Now, I'm doing pretty good for time. We may go 5 minutes after, but we've packed in a lot this morning. I just want to tell you why, especially with this response time. If you were around at the beginning of the year, you might remember Braid's message, which he felt was a prophetic word over the Australian church. Just summed up in one word, it's time to awake. And it really resonated with my heart, as I know it did with many of yours as well, and reminded me of a message that I had spoken some 6 months earlier here, where we kind of paused on our normal preaching series to speak for 2 weeks into this idea taken from Arthur Wallace's book, if you remember, In the Day of Thy Power, where he talks about the two cries of revival, the first being the cry of God that awakens his church. Awake, awake, O Zion. And then that sets something off within the heart of God's people that causes them to cry out, awake, awake, O God, and stretch out your might across the land. Now, more and more, and my time in New York and hanging around some pastors and friends and just being a part of what was an incredible conference around the idea of prayer, it's just more and more I just heard this message that it's time for us to awake. Now, here's the thing. This message, this cry from God's heart to the Australian church and to us here at Dayspring to awake, must land on soft, responsive hearts. If it lands on hard hearts, if it lands on cynical hearts, if it lands on hearts that say, been there, done that, heard that before, got the T-shirt, then nothing will shift. Nothing will change. I genuinely believe that we are living in the middle of these two cries, that God is crying out to his bride, specifically in the nation of Australia, awake, awake, O Zion. And so one of the reasons we feel so strongly about creating this response time is because we want to make sure that cry lands on soft hearts. We want to make sure that we have cultivated soft, responsive hearts that are ready to respond to all that God is doing and wanting to do. And let me just say this quickly. Two things. One, if God is crying out for his church to awake, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want us to be ready. But number two, I recognize that particularly in the charismatic stream, our hearts are hurt, broken, and disappointed by poor examples of how to lead in this beautiful gift of the charismatic church. I just want to acknowledge that my heart is broken and grieving over the way some of these things have been handled. And so you know what we do? We take our hurting, disappointed hearts and we present them at the cross and the feet of Jesus. And he keeps them soft and he heals them. And he makes sure that anything that's in there is dealt with in the best way possible, by pouring out his love and his truth. And then rather than rejecting the power of the Spirit and things like healing and the prophetic, These things are reformed in a reformed people in the image of Christ in the way that he already always intended, and they are released through a community in power and love and a sound mind. And so I just want to acknowledge that. When we create space over the coming weeks for response time, take time not just to pray the prayer, Lord, show me your glory, but take time to pray David's prayer, Lord, would you search my heart? Anything that would keep me deaf to your cry of awake, any cynicism or bitterness or doubt that has crept in because of these difficult things the church is walking through, would you come and bring healing? Would you come and bring restoration? Would you come and make me whole? Can we stand on our feet? So these are just a couple of things that are on our heart to do this year. And even though there are a couple of things, prayer, sharing our faith, creating a time of response, these couple of things we are holding and pursuing with great conviction. I would encourage you to lean in. That's all. Just lean in. This week, watch the video as it goes out in emails. It's up on YouTube. Watch it, reflect on it prayerfully. Ask God how he wants you to engage. See an inner fire fanned into flame. See gospel impact in the hills, in the city of Sydney, and beyond. Amen. Let's hold out our hands and let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come? Lord, this week as we take this theme and vision of for real, living life with sincere faith, the antidote to all that is unreal, false realities presented to us in this world. Would you help us to reflect? Would you soften our hearts so that we can take in all that you are saying and all that you are doing? Well, this morning we choose to partner with you, Holy Spirit, for all that you would have for us. We determine not to do this in our own strength because simply we cannot. Rather, we collapse into your grace. We surrender into your love. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us as a community into the full measure of all that you have. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.